This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning, I'm David Firth.
Sit down and shut up.
I have no interest in answering your question.
You know, some may go down tonight, but it ain't gonna be jobs, sweetheart.
Sometimes people need to be told to sit down and shut up.
I could say it really nicely. I could say it in the way that you all might be more comfortable with.
You conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's gonna get thrown in jail, idiot.
I'm a nice guy. Ask anybody. Well, not anybody, but...
Damn, man, I'm governor. Could you just shut up for a second?
Smiles we gave to one another.
Tuesday is the final day in office for New Jersey's ferociously ambitious and sometimes just ferocious governor, Chris Christie. He went from soaring heights of popularity in the state after Hurricane Sandy to the lowest approval rating of any governor in state history in the wake of Bridgegate, Beachgate, and his endorsement of Donald Trump. We're joined by two people who spent a heck of a lot of time covering the man over the last 8 years. WNYC's Matt Katz, who lived the Chris Christie beat and broke so many stories about Bridgegate and beyond, and New Jersey Public Radio managing editor Nancy Solomon. Welcome.
Thanks so much, David.
Hi, David.
And this is a mini reunion of the Christie Tracker podcast. Matt, now that you've been out of the Christie game for a while, looking back over the last 8 years, what moments really stand out for you?
The first comes a few days after Superstorm Sandy. This was, remember, less than a week before the 2012 presidential election. Christie had been campaigning all over the country for Mitt Romney. And yet, after the storm, the biggest natural disaster ever to affect his state, he presents himself as a truly bipartisan figure. It was a remarkable moment, and it was really the reason why New Jersey, for a time, fell so in love with this guy. And the moment that really crystallizes this came right after President Obama visited Christie at the Jersey Shore. They took a tour of the damage, and the next morning, Chris Christie goes on Fox and Friends, and they say to him, "Now that President Obama has visited the Jersey Shore, are you going to invite Mitt Romney, considering the elections on Tuesday?"
"I have no idea, nor am I the least bit concerned or interested. Right. I've got a job to do here in New Jersey that's much bigger than presidential politics, and I could care less about any of that stuff. I have a job to do. I've got 2.4 million people out of power. I've got devastation on the shore. I've got floods in the northern part of my state. If you think right now I give a damn about presidential politics, then you don't know me."
It was a remarkable moment, and I think a big reason why he won with such a large margin in his reelection bid the following year. The other two quick moments that I'll mention, because they signify what's changed so dramatically about Chris Christie, is when he nominated a Indian-born Muslim American to a judgeship, Sohail Muhammad. He was criticized from the right for appointing somebody who was going to implement Islamic Sharia law in the state of New Jersey, and he pushed back so hard against that. He called people who say that crazies. He said it was internet BS. He called it crap and insulting. It was a pushback against xenophobia and racism from a leading Republican figure, and it was remarkable because it's the kind of thing that we have not seen since from him or his colleagues on the right side of the aisle.
That kind of pushback, Matt, seems a long way in the rearview mirror at this point.
Absolutely does. It was I think Chris Christie's genuine self at the time, but politics in this country changed and his politics changed along with it. So when he ran for president, he talked about keeping 2-year-old orphan Syrian Muslims out of the country because they could be terrorist threats.
"The fact is that we need appropriate vetting, and I don't think orphans under 5 are being, you know, should be admitted into the United States at this point."
He talked about tracking immigrants like FedEx packages, that sort of very passionate pushback against xenophobia and nativism that we saw from Chris Christie early on in his career in New Jersey absolutely disappeared with the 2016 presidential cycle. And it might have something to do with my third moment that really stands out for me in Chris Christie's career. And this involves me as a secondary character, but this was the first time I asked Christie about Bridgegate. He had never before been asked about it. The smoking gun email, "Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee," had yet to come out. But I asked him, "Hey, you know, do you know anything about this strange traffic jam at the George Washington Bridge?"
I worked the cones, actually, Matt. Unbeknownst to everybody, I was actually the guy out there. I was in overalls and a hat, so I wasn't. But I actually was the guy working the cones out there. You really are not serious.
Yes, I think we've heard that cut a few times, Matt.
Yeah, that might have been the cut that will also be on my tombstone when you come to visit me, wherever I might be buried in New Jersey.
Nancy Solomon, what moments really stick out for you?
You know, for me, I think Chris Christie just is... He's like the best characters in fiction in terms of how good he is, his political skills, how charming and charismatic that a lot of people find hard to believe, but it's true. I kind of see him like Tony Soprano in that same way. It's a guy that you love him and you hate him and you toggle back and forth between the two. You know, and I love with the start of The Sopranos each episode where Tony's driving out from the tunnel into New Jersey. And to me, like transportation tells you everything you need to know about this governor. It was his Achilles heel. He got into trouble over and over again over transportation issues. The worst thing, I think, in my humble opinion, that he did as governor was to cancel the ARC tunnel. But then, of course, we had Bridgegate. We had Helicoptergate.
That's when he took the helicopter to hit his son's baseball game, right?
Exactly. We had him telling a girl at a town hall that his favorite thing about being governor was that they closed down the traffic into the tunnel so that he could drive straight through. And so what better metaphor for life in New Jersey than traffic and transportation woes?
I think I have this obligation. I want to send a warning out there to New Jerseyans. Chris Christie next week will lose his security detail. That means he will not be driven around by state troopers in an SUV for the first time in 8 years. And that's significant because he had 13 tickets as a driver in New Jersey, including 6 accidents. He once went down the wrong way of a one-way street and collided with a motorcycle, which sent the biker to the emergency room. The biker ended up being okay. This is somebody who might not be the strongest driver.
So with Christie back on the road, it could be time for traffic problems in New Jersey once again?
That's right.
I'm staying out of Mendham.
That's right.
Well, we mentioned that this is the crew that worked on the Christie Tracker podcast, and all 71 of those episodes are still available online. We have some links up on the This Week in Politics page on WNYC.org. Manager of all things New Jersey, Nancy Solomon, and WNYC's Matt Katz, thanks again.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
And Governor Christie, you should really get the last word. Do you have a final comment on leaving office?
Just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Okay, that obviously wasn't Chris Christie. Come on, Governor. Any last thoughts on your legacy?
I have something better to do. I have to rearrange my sock drawer tonight.